Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day as we continue on getting through what's a bizarre turn of the NBA season, trying to keep games going, trying to keep the season going, dealing with all kinds of stuff with the Houston Rockets. And to help break it all down, Andy Bailey, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, Andy.
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We're good. James Harden has played his last game in Houston. Would you agree with that?
Sure, looks like it. based on that really brief presser, if we even want to call it that, that he had last night, I thought, well, it's probably not going to last much longer. I didn't think it would accelerate the way it has today. it sounds like, based on these reports from Shams Charania, that it could happen today or in the next couple of days. And even if it doesn't, sure doesn't seem like it would do anybody any good to have him out there. He's missing practice right now. That's the latest report. And I actually caught some of that Lakers Rockets game last night. Initially, it was what I was scheduled to cover for Bleacher Report, and they just looked utterly lifeless. the angle that I pitched to the editors probably about halfway through the second quarter is that, you know, they can't continue this much longer because that whole team just looks dead. The energy's gone. It became such a laugher that we eventually pivoted to a whole different topic, but they looked completely done last night, and today I think sort of signals that even further.
All right, so one of the solutions that Shams tweeted out was potentially the Brooklyn Nets giving up 4 first-round picks and a couple of other options in order to bring James Harden in. Tell me what the Nets would look like if this is, in fact, the trade we see come down.
Well, I thought all along that if the Nets were going to get serious, it was all about the number of picks that they were going to include, because in terms of talent going out, NBA players are already on the roster. I think there are a lot of teams that could beat their package. I think in terms of salary matching purposes, you probably have to send out Caris LeVert. Spencer Dinwiddie is another contract that might have to be attached. I don't think it's going to be a bare bones roster like some of the other super teams that we've seen assembled. I mean, Miami had to tear everything down to the studs basically when they put together LeBron and Wade and Bosch. Brooklyn will still have some pieces that I think fit Durant and Harden and Irving pretty well. Like, I think Joe Harris would be really important on a team like that, because you need somebody who can contribute without a lot of touches, because those three together, the amount of possessions that you have in a game is finite, and all those guys want a ton. So you need players like Joe Harris who aren't going to demand a ton. I think Jared Allen would become really important at that point too. But if he does go to Brooklyn, I think ultimately it's just going to be they're the team that ponied up the most picks for him. It wouldn't be we've seen a lot in the last couple of years. Teams will say, well, what we want for this star is we want somebody with great potential. We want a veteran and we want a bunch of picks. I think with Brooklyn, it's just the picks. We can hem and haw about how people feel about Caris LeVert, but I don't think he's a make or break part of a Brooklyn package.
Andy Bailey joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I'm going to ask you the question. I know the answer you don't know, because I don't think anybody really knows right now, but how long do you think the Kyrie Irving situation plays out?
That's interesting too, and it's funny that Brooklyn is, I guess for lack of a better term, one of the finalists for Harden, because they have this whole other mess that they're dealing with Kyrie Irving. I don't know if having Harden there makes him more likely to want to play, makes him less likely to want to play. I mean, at this point, it's probably impossible to predict whatever's going on with Kyrie Irving. And I think the way you phrased it perfectly, I don't know how anybody can know what's going on with him. I mean, when the first couple games that he missed, there were those rumblings that he's reacting to stuff that's happening politically. And then we see the video of him at a party. And there's just so many different variables to this. And it's almost just so out there and unpredictable that it just seems like par for the course for Kyrie almost. I mean, if you were going to pick one NBA player to have something like this happen this season, you might settle on Kyrie before it even happened. So that's just a wild situation. And if you introduce what's going on with James Harden to that, the drama in Brooklyn right now is just off the charts.
Taking a look at this Utah Jazz team, getting a really nice win against Cleveland last night, and obviously they should have gotten a nice win against Cleveland. Cleveland is completely depleted, but their game against the Wizards has been postponed. Just curious, with the postponements and some of the movement that we're seeing with games in the NBA, how serious is this getting? And talk about these new steps the NBA has taken to try to slow it down.
Well, I think that we probably should have expected this, given the protocols that were in place. One that surprised me a couple weeks ago was when they said that Kevin Durant had to go into quarantine despite already testing positive. I think it was before the bubble. And when I read that, I thought, well, if that's the policy, postponements and maybe even cancellations are going to be all over the place. Because it's the contact tracing and all that, and now we're seeing some players start to test positive. It was always going to make its way through the NBA, one way or the other. And I think in theory, to step up some of the protocols, like you can't interact with players after the game, and you've got to stay in your hotel room when you're on the road. You got to stay home when you're at home. In theory, you keep the virus away from yourself a little bit more that way, but they're still putting the players on the floor to play each other. The 10 guys who are on the floor are going to be within 6 feet. They're going to be breathing on each other. And George Hill is the only one to vocalize this so far. But I wouldn't be surprised if other players feel the way he did, where he basically told the league flat out, I'm a grown man, I'll do what I want. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are other players who feel that way. I mean, we've already seen the thing with Kyrie Irving. We saw the thing with James Harden during training camp. It's really difficult to take 350 to 400 guys, however many are in the league, probably up to like 450 to 500. I shortchanged that. Guys that are between 20 years old and 35 years old and say, you know, these are these extremely strict rules that you have to live by. It's this is a very long-winded way of saying that it might just be impossible to navigate this whole thing. And ultimately the NBA is just going to have to power through kind of the way that baseball did and the way that the NFL did. I'm not sure if these slightly more enhanced measures really, really change anything in the long run.
Andy Bailey joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Let's talk about the Jazz specifically and what you've seen out of this team. Picking up another win. The road trip gets cut short because of the game against Washington postponed. But this is a team that's still... right now tied for second in the West. A week ago, we thought maybe the bottom was falling out. Now everybody's riding high with this team. Where are you at right now with the current status of the Jazz?
I think they look solid. And I'm with you. A few days ago, it did seem like people were ready to panic. But even at that point, I thought it's too early. It seems like Utah kind of goes through ups and downs a lot in the Quinn Snyder era, where everybody gets a little bit panicked when they have a little bit of a lull. But they're always good for some streaks.
It helps keep us employed. Having emotional fans is good for business.
Yeah, I can see that. And the Utah fans are obviously very passionate. But I think the way Utah's been playing the last few games is more or less the team that I expected. They're getting a little bit less offensively from Gobert than I thought they would this year. And Bogdanovich certainly has not clicked in yet. I think that's a missing piece that's, there's still room for them to improve with those two guys getting a little bit more involved in the offense. But I think the big factor right now is that Mike Conley looks kind of like the player I think they expected when they traded for him. He's not going to be a guy who goes out there and lights the world on fire every game and averages 25 or 30 points, but he's just such a steady hand. This season he's shooting the ball well. And when you have this much firepower from the perimeter with Mitchell, Conley, and Clarkson all kind of, firing on all cylinders right now. They look like a pretty potent offense. Once they get Gobert going with those rolls to the rim and Bogdanovich starts hitting his shots, this could look like a really, really good offense. I'm still a little bit worried about them defensively. I think the addition of Favors helps a lot there. I mean, their defense just fell off a cliff when Gobert went to the bench last season. So they've stemmed that tide a little bit, but I still look at a guy like Bogdanović. He's got good size and he's generally in the right spot, but he's certainly not a lockdown defender. And the lack of size in the backcourt with Mitchell and Conley, that would scare me a little bit against certain backcourts. But for the most part, they look solid to me right now.
I want you to kind of break down the L.A. Lakers with adding Marc Gasol and Dennis Schroeder. How have those additions fit in with what LeBron is trying to do with Davis and what the Lakers are trying to do? And do you believe that the Lakers kind of lead the pack right now?
I do, and I really liked those moves at the time. I actually spoke to someone with the Lakers right after that happened, and he kept saying, we're different, but we're better. And I think there was a little bit of hesitance from that organization to move on from the identity they had in the bubble, which was they were big, they were tough. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee were going to kind of muscle people around inside. They could play those jumbo lineups with either one of those guys and Anthony Davis. And they were just sort of a real gritty team on defense. And then they had sort of LeBron's personality on offense. They lost those two big guys, obviously, and they replaced them with two guys that are, you know, very good offensively in Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell. And Gasol is obviously a very heady defender, but I don't think he's anywhere near the guy who won Defensive Player of the Year all those years ago. He's not near as mobile as he used to be. But what he provides on offense as sort of a high post hub or a top of the key hub as a passer and someone who can hit threes, I think that fits Davis really well, because now you have a five who pulls the opposing center out of the paint and Davis can operate inside. I just think it makes a lot of sense offensively. And Schroeder, he was just fantastic for the Thunder last season, and I thought adding a little bit of extra playmaking punch was a good thing for them too. But he too is probably a downgrade on defense from Danny Green. So it was sort of a defense for offense offseason for the Lakers, and right now I think they look good. I think they're in a little bit of a cruise control mode. I don't think we've seen a fully engaged Lakers team. I mean, I watched, you know, a few games of theirs, and a lot of times Davis and LeBron are basically out in the second half. So they haven't really had to put the pedal to the metal yet. I think there's another level that we're going to see from them. But right now they look like the leader in the clubhouse, that's for sure.
I've asked a couple people this over the last week or so, but when you look at an NBA team at the beginning of a season, and this year is going to be a little different because of COVID and some cancellations and things like that, but how long before you get a good vibe on who a team really is? Do you need 10 games? Do you need 20 games? Is there a marker where you're like, okay, I pretty much know who this team is?
For me, I think it takes a little bit longer. 20, 30 games, if I'm going to put a number on it, I think that's when numbers start to level off. And I'm a guy, I think you need to analyze the game with both video and numbers. But numbers, you know, really influence how I see the game, and that's when things start to normalize for me. And then the other curveball that you're always kind of waiting for is trades, and player movement is so common in today's NBA. So you may think you've got a handle on a team's identity 2 months into the season, and then they switch things up. You know, there are cases too where you can get a grip on a team like the Rockets within five games. They have packed it up and called it quits on this season. I think we've learned everything we can about this particular version of the Rockets, and obviously they become something different if they trade James Harden. Do they become a tanking team? Do they try to compete around John Wall and Christian Wood? So it can change, but I think a more general answer to your question is I think it takes me probably a couple months before I have a real good feel for what a team is.
Well, Andy, we appreciate your time. I think the next couple hours, maybe even the next day or so, are going to be really interesting on NBA Twitter. So make sure to follow our guy at Andy Bailey. Thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, guys.
Andy Bailey right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Does a great job breaking things down.
Heavy price to pay to get James Harden in with the Nets.
Yeah.
And you really have to look at what you're dealing with Kyrie Irving. Like, how far are things starting to spiral for him? As he mentioned, the family party and the video and, you know, they're talking about the amount of money that's going to be fined per game that he misses, and he's talking about missing because of civil issues. And what is Kyrie Irving doing? But before I even make a move, now if I make a move, and I'm just glad I'm not the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm glad I'm not the Houston Rockets, and I'm glad I'm not having to make those decisions and deal with those two prima donnas.
Yeah.
And their, whatever their issues are. It's like you just want to look at them and look them in the face and say, you're being paid $41 million to play the game of basketball.
I'm with you.
It's unbelievable.
That's why I said earlier in the show, like, these are the stories where I understand where people get a little sideways with professional athletes. Like, these are the moments where you're like, okay, because he's going to get everything he wants.
Yep.
He doesn't want to play for a team, and he wants a trade, and he's going to get his wish, and he'll probably go to a place where he wants to go. Philadelphia or Brooklyn seem to be the two favorites right now, and I'm sure he's circled both those teams as a destination he'd like to go and play for.
Brooklyn and who?
Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly's the other one?
Yeah.
Philly seems more likely, but maybe not. I just don't know. I really don't even know what Brooklyn's thinking right now with Kyrie. What's weird is you just don't hear much from them.
Yeah.
Have you heard Brooklyn really release anything in regards to how they're dealing with Kyrie Irving not showing up and just...
I think they're just, right now, publicly, they're saying we support him. It's a personal thing. And we're just going to find a way to figure it out. And when he comes back, we're welcoming him with open arms.
And if you're Philly, do you really want to disrupt the continuity that you have right now? Because Philly seems to be the most flowing team in the NBA. They're built up of different parts. And I heard somebody talking, it was a breakdown of their schedule and that they haven't beat much. But they're 8-4?
Yeah.
Does that put them at the top of the East? Number two?
Behind Boston.
Right behind Boston. Wow.
Yep.
So I don't know. Do you want to throw a wrench into that? Because, geez, they're playing really well, too.
It's a good point. I just think that significant talent like he brings to the table will always think there will always be a GM out there that thinks he'll flourish under our system. In our culture, it's going to work for us. We get that talent. He'll conform to our culture and what we're building here. And more often than not, that's just not going to be the case. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Catching up again with Andrew Reinhardt from Wasatch Medical. Andrew, there's a few things people want to hear when they're talking about treating ED. No needles, no surgery, and no little blue pill either.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that's like all that has existed for 30 years. Guys have been taking the pill, using injections once the pill fails, which happens to just about everybody. No real good solutions for erectile dysfunction. If somebody's out there frustrated in the bedroom, maybe it's not 100% gone. It's just the occasional failure. The acoustic wave therapy that Wasatch Medical Clinic uses has helped so many guys really easily get back to their younger years in the bedroom. This treatment opens up and regrows blood vessels. That's a process called neovascularization, by the way. The medical world has used this technology on other parts of the body since the 50s. Feet pain, joint pain, muscle pain, blood flow is a good thing, particularly when we're talking about ED. So we're helping guys get off the pill and get that spontaneity back into the relationship.
Call right now and set up that free assessment. And remember, this is absolutely free. 801-901-8000, where guys are going to have a chance to have a good conversation with a physician about what may be going on.
Yes, a lot of value in this. Call us right now. Tell the guys you just heard it on the radio. We'll do the assessment for free, the exam. This is with a medical doctor. He'll also do a blood flow ultrasound. Check your blood vessels. Really cool to finally hear and get kind of a tangible reading on your blood flow. We'll also throw in a little special gift that produces instant results in the bedroom just as a thank you for coming in. That's really cool and really effective. It's all free.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
You know, as the NBA talks about how to proceed with this season, I don't know how hard this would be to pull off, but how about extend the roster to 20? They're trying to figure out what to do with the G League anyway. Let them be alternates ready to roll. You'd have to set aside some salary cap rules, set other parameters like these aren't vet minimum guys. Figure out what to do. You already bumped the roster to 15. Bump it out to 25. What difference does it make? Just make sure these guys have enough bodies they can pull it off.
Is putting on a game with those kinds of players really better than not playing the game at all?
I hear what you're getting at. I think the game being played is more important. How often would you get down to player 18, 19, 20? I would guess it wouldn't be all that often.
I certainly hope not.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to, put them on a nice little roulette wheel, spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. As we continue with the Jazz having a day off today because of the game against the Wizards canceled, which is kind of a bummer deal. I was kind of looking forward to seeing the Jazz play one more game on this road trip.
Would have been nice to have a game tonight.
Yeah. Maybe works to their benefit, though.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Just because it's at the end of the road trip, it can be rough. Of course, it could make somewhere else in the schedule rough as well, so who knows.
No, this is good for them to get off that road trip and come back, have an extra day. And now they've got 7 of the next 6 at home. So they've got a long time to heal at home, to play at home. They'll have a little bit of crowd that'll motivate them, still allowing a couple – 1,000 or 2,000 in?
1,500?
1,500 it was. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they'd moved it or not. So come home, get a little bit of home cooking, a little home love, and should be a really nice stop for them.
All right, Lloyd, fire up the wheel.
Postseason wages on.
We've got the divisional rounds, Scotty.
Yes, indeed.
Which one interests you the most?
I think I've got to go on the AFC side and the Ravens game probably.
The Ravens-Bills?
Yeah.
Ravens-Bills would be a good one. Do you have any hope? Do you have any belief that the Browns can make it interesting with the Chiefs?
I think they can make it interesting. I don't think they'll win. It's a 10-point spread, right?
It is a 10-point spread.
I would probably take the Browns and the points because I think the Browns will play them close. However, the next week, I think the Ravens or the Bills are more than capable of going into Arrowhead and getting a win. Truly believe that.
Okay, the other question I've got for you, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have lost to the New Orleans Saints a couple of times this year already.
Yeah.
Can the Buccaneers...
Smoked badly in the second. Was it the second one or the first one?
It was
one?
The second. Is there any chance that... Well, you're talking about the last game?
Yeah, Lloyd? It was like 46-6 or it was bad.
Well, there was a 38-3.
That's what it was. It was 38-3.
That was their first game. Scotty, is there any chance the Buccaneers can shake off the two losses they suffered through the regular season to the New Orleans Saints and move on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
They beat the Washington football team 31-23. Now, that was a Washington football team that got a surprise performance by a fourth-string quarterback. That was a Washington football team that was really beat up and put up 23 points on Tampa.
Tough to beat a team three times.
Especially when Tom Brady's on it.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
I wonder if Tom Brady's lost to the same team three times in his career in a season. That's a stat I need to find that stat.
I bet he hasn't lost twice to the same team that many times.
Like I can't see Tom Brady losing a third time. New Orleans is a 3-point favorite. This, of course, in New Orleans at the Mercedes-Benz.
I'll take the Bucs to win.
And we'll make our official picks tomorrow with Eric Weddle.
You're looking forward to that one.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
You better show up tomorrow.
I'm just going to miss the Eric Weddle segment.
All we need to tell you, we're not giving you any updates on how things went over the weekend. But let's just say you're going to want to listen to Eric Weddle's response on to how things went over the past weekend.
I may have said a couple things on text during the games that ended up not being accurate. And Eric, we'll see what Eric thinks about all that.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun tomorrow to talk to Eric about these things. So I want the Browns to win. I want the Bucs to win. I don't care who wins between the Bills and the Ravens. And for some reason, the game I'm least interested in is the NFC divisional round, Rams and Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in that game.
Nah, not really.
Green Bay is a 6.5-point favorite.
I'm going to say the Rams. I think the Rams win.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do. I know that Aaron Rodgers is spectacular, and I know that he is on MVP watch 2020, but they don't interest me at all.
What makes you say that, by the way, that you think the Rams win?
I don't know. Just got a vibe.
Just the fact that they knocked off the Seahawks.
I think they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, hold on though. What do we have in a quarterback situation this weekend? Jared Goff
or Wolford?
Well, Wolford goes out with that neck injury. I don't think Wolford's going to be playing for a little bit.
It's going to be Goff. Yeah.
And Goff with that broken thumb is a major concern. I could not believe that he came in and still orchestrated a win.
I know.
Wolford, more like Wolford Brimley.
Hey, let me tell you.
Hey, he's playing well before then.
Let me tell you.
It's a neck, not the beatus.
That looked horrible. Miserable. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I don't know how quarterbacks and running backs do it. I mean, I think back to the way I'd hit a couple of them and do everything I could to take the wind out of them, to break ribs, lacerate kidneys, like everything I could. I wanted to hit them as legally as I could, but do as much damage as I could. And they just keep getting up. And you're like, what's it going to take? It's like Ivan Drago hitting Rocky. And Rocky just keeps coming. It's like,
do you remember a quarterback in particular that you kept hitting and he just kept getting up?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I was able to hit, is it Pennington?
Chad Pennington from Marshall?
I was able to hit him a few times hard. Yeah. He was a big kid.
Yeah.
And I hit him a few times
probably
hard.
Probably the start of his shoulder issues.
Did not sack him.
Yeah.
With the noodle arm? He kind of always
Man, that dude.
Kind of where it really started, though. Then when he had the torn labrum, psh, gone.
I don't think I got a sack in a game, but I know I put four or so really good licks on him, and he just
took a licking and kept on taking them.
You know what always bugged me when quarterbacks would just keep coming back and like even help you up off
the
ground.
They get up like, good hit, man.
Yeah, I hated that.
Don't
get up and get in my face and tell me good hit. I don't want that. You're a clown. Get back to your huddle. Shut your mouth. I'm going to try to hit you harder next time so you don't say good hit.
All right, one more, Lloyd. Spin it.
200 million to help jog your memory.
So let me introduce you to a man. His name's Stephen Thomas. Back in 2011, Bitcoin hired him to do work on a video that introduced the currency to many people. It was an online video. And they offered to pay him in Bitcoin. So they said, we're going to give you $7,002 in Bitcoin in 2011. Back then, that currency was worth about $1. So they essentially paid him $7,000. Took it in Bitcoin. Says, oh, that's fun. That's great. They give him an account. He writes down the password. Life goes on. Doesn't even think about it. Well, since then, Bitcoin explodes. And this guy's done pretty well for himself. But so he sees Bitcoin continue to climb and continue to climb. And now that $7,000 in Bitcoin is now worth $200 million. Guess what the problem is? He forgot his password. He does not know the password. And they give you...
What?
They give you 10 guesses to get your password. He's used 8 of them. Only 2 more left. And as soon as he uses those last 2, boom.
No, that's gone. Not true.
It's 100%.
There's got to be another way to get
what?
That. Like, there has to be a
okay,
a
so you say
question.
Like, so you say, yeah, what's your, you know, your best friend growing up or your dog growing up? Well, there is Bitcoin. It says this is made possible by the structure of Bitcoin, which is governed by a network of computers that agreed to follow software containing all the rules for the cryptocurrency. The software includes a complete algorithm that makes it possible to create an address and associated private key known only by the person who created the wallet. There is not a stored password on the Bitcoin site. It is all controlled by the user. So as soon as they have 2 more, it's 10 guesses, he's locked out, and the money is gone.
Is this how it is for everybody?
Yeah. Yep.
You lose your money. You lose it. Because even if you lose one right now, it's not a good thing for you.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Oh, my gosh. He's got $200
million sitting there.
$200 million
sitting there, and he cannot access it because he cannot remember the password.
I thought it sucked. So I just restarted the old PS3 because Xavier wanted to play, like, the old Maddens or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't set up my I have my password that's set up to, or my username that's set up to an old email, you know, for the account or whatever,
yeah,
the profile. And it locked me out of there, and my old email, I mean, it's such an old email that's from, like, it's on a Hotmail. That's how old my email
okay.
is. It's really old. But it was an old email that I've never set up to a phone or anything. And so I'm, like, locked out of that email. I can't get into it. So I had to create a new profile. I thought that was bad.
Well, that sounds like a hassle, but you're not losing.
No, I'm not losing $200 million.
So what do you do? Does he have a certain amount of time that he has to?
Oh, yeah, he's got all the time in the world because the account's just going to sit there.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, it's been sitting there for 10 years, so he's got all the time. He just can't remember what the password is.
Well, hopefully he wrote that somewhere or...
Again, he said he... Let's see here. Hold on.
Find that professor from A Beautiful Mind. You ever watched that movie, A Beautiful Mind, The Code Breaker? See if he knows it.
Yeah.
My guess is he probably doesn't. He'd probably have to have something, some trail to follow. But if you could give him, like, your entire life story, maybe he could crack it.
People have asked, can't Thomas just call Bitcoin and get his password sent in the mail? There's really no company. It's just run by a bunch of computers. There's no lost password division.
Is Bitcoin even, it feels so fake.
Well, it does feel fake, but people are making a ton of money off of it. If you and I could go back in time and go to 2010 and buy $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, you know, we're almost a billionaire at that point.
Was that you or was it me that brought up the story of the plaque at the Domino's?
Oh, yeah. No, that was, I remember us talking about it. I can't remember if it was you or I.
But there's a plaque at a Domino's where a guy was paid a tip in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That is now worth like a couple $1 million.
Yep. It's like a $10 tip. And he said, will you take Bitcoin? He's like, fine, whatever.
Yeah, because he just wanted to get out of there. Well, he didn't forget his password.
Because a Bitcoin right now is worth, one Bitcoin is worth $41,962.
So, man, okay. Well, so what can I buy with the Bitcoin? Like, can I go on Amazon and just buy $41,000 worth of stuff for a Bitcoin?
Well, no, essentially what you would do is you would just flip it and sell it and then go to Amazon. I don't think it has any purchasing power right now. Maybe it does.
But it's not an actual product. Like, it's not Callahan brake pads. Like,
no, no, it's actual, it's online, it's online currency.
Hey, aren't you big Tom Callahan, son?
Look, I could get a good look at a T-bone steak by, I'll just take the butcher's word for it. I can't believe that people are, it's $41,000, and people are like, you know, I'll take four Bitcoins. I'll invest into four Bitcoins. Man, I wish we could have got in early.
Oh, man. Yep.
We'd still be doing the show, but it'd probably feel a little bit different.
Coming to you live from our Jamaican studios, Hans and Scotty.
Well, Scotty, we got a great cricket match here on the beach. Some great beach volleyball.
Yeah.
We'd go out, we'd build our own little beach volleyball team. Maybe we'd pick up cricket.
That's Lloyd's what they probably Lloyd's going to have his lead pipe locks for cricket next.
Cricket handicapping next.
I think we're on to something. Well, you did get into that a little bit when we did the Everyday Parlay.
A little bit.
You got some people upset about that, too.
Yeah, well, I was struggling. I needed to find something. It was all on the up and up.
Oh, sure. All right, 1250, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Brett McMurphy, national college football writer and insider for Stadium Network. The way too early top 25s came out. You had Utah at number 11. And curious what you saw in Utah that you have your expectation for them set so high.
I don't think you can penalize Utah or any of the Pac-12 teams based on last season. And if they had played a full season, I think people would look at them totally different coming into this year. And there's a friend of mine that works for the Action Network. He let me see his power ratings, and I don't remember specifically where he had Utah, but I believe they were no lower than like 13th or 14th in his power rating. So I think you'll see Utah in a lot of top 15, top 20s when his preseason rankings start coming out. Now, it's one thing to start there, and it's another thing to end there, but obviously it's a good jumping off point.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I have things I want to say, but probably not.
Say it.
No. No. Hey, you got... Can we talk about your problem?
Yeah, please. Yeah, absolutely.
You're addicted to tanning beds.
No. No, I'm not addicted to tanning beds. I just don't... I can't control myself when I'm in them.
That sounds like an addiction issue.
No,
that's addiction. I can't. What do you mean?
I just... Okay, so
that's like if I was to say, that's like if you were to say, I like cocaine. I'm not addicted, but
I'm not finishing this for you because you're going to turn it into a drop.
No, I better not. Okay, I'll move on. All right.
So this is my problem. Whenever I buy something, I want to get the most out of it. So like if I'm
You don't like to go halfways on things.
No, right. So, like, when I go to a buffet, I told Scotty when we were at the buffet yesterday, I'm like, well, I'm not doing ice cream. And the next thing Scotty knows, I'm walking past him with a bowl of three major scoops with every topping that they had at the bar and five Rice Krispie treats. Like, because I paid, well, Scotty paid for the buffet, but.
I lost the bet.
We paid for the buffet.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to eat what I can at the buffet.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it is with tanning. So, that you know, you pay your money for the session, which is overpriced already. Tanning has gotten way out of control price-wise. way out of control. All you're doing is
I have no idea even what the number one might be.
Well, it's for like just a run of the mill bet. It's like $12 for a session. Okay, so here's my problem. So it's like $12 for a session, but they're like, well, how many minutes would you like? And so the question or the answer always is, well, how many minutes can I have for $12? Because, you know, you're buying minutes in the bed.
Yeah.
And the max minutes that you can have in the bed is 12. So I'm like, well, give me 12. And they're like, but you're really white. And we like to start people at like 5 or 6. And I'm like, well, I'm not paying $12 for 5 or 6. I will pay you $5 or $6 for 5 or 6 minutes. But I'm not going to pay you $12 for 5 or 6 minutes. Does that make sense?
This is where you explain to them, hey, I've got a vacation next year, and I want to be ready. You explain it to them.
I did explain
it. You did do a considerable amount of disrobing in the studio to show, and it's pretty significant. Like, yeah. I'm surprised you're going to let me.
I'm baked up bad.
Yeah, no, you look like
I am cooked up.
You look like a lobster that's been boiling for about 12 minutes.
That's bad. You know, have you ever overcooked a pepperoni pizza and the pepperonis start to like bend?
Yeah, they curl up.
That's my areolas.
Oh man!
I'm not kidding. They have bent and they crinkled right off my body. Like they're fried and sizzled. I could actually like
crusty on the edges.
Yeah, like the fat inside them was like leaking out. Like it burnt it. It cooked the fat right out of them.
You're lactating grease.
I was
sitting in there, and I knew it, too.
What are you guys doing?
Like minute 10, I was like, this is bad. What I'm doing is bad. I'm burnt. And I'm sweating. I'm just sitting here in my own filth.
So didn't you at one point think that maybe this was a bad idea?
Yeah, because this was the second session, and the first session was bad, too, and then I put the second session on.
You have a problem.
And I'm going for a third session today, and it's going to be worse tomorrow.
What are you doing?
I've got to get some color.
You have color. Yeah, you're red.
You've got color.
Bright red.
You've admitted. You say you're
addicted
to having
this stuff.
Addictive personality.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the pain a little. I like the pain just a little, except for, like, right here, my front part of my hip.
You've done half the show standing up.
Yeah, because my bum is really burnt.
I know. You showed it to me.
It's really fried. Does it look bad? How bad is it?
It looks really bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tweet that picture out, please.
Did you click one?
No, I did not click one. You got mad when on the bathroom picture. I'm not going to take another one.
Well, yeah, because somebody photoshopped a pie and then a pizza in my hand while I'm sitting on a toilet. That wasn't fun.
I was going to probably... could have photoshopped a smiley face.
Oh, man. You're
not a lot of fun.
You're like emulating heat over here. You're warming the studio.
I know.
I
got to go get my money's worth.
Okay, but you did get your money's worth. Don't get more money's worth. Just stop going.
Well, but I've only got a couple more days to get in the goods, get that color.
Did you say Amanda was good with this?
Oh, no.
No?
No. She chewed me out this morning, but I told her, if I'm going
outside with her on this,
I told her if I'm going in to buy a sandwich, I'm not gonna say, well, I'd like your foot long, but only 3 inches, but I'll pay you the foot long price. No, I'm going in and buying a foot long, getting the full foot long. Okay, well, if I'm only gonna get 3 inches of sandwich, I want to pay for 3 inches of sandwich. You can't do that at a tanning place. You pay for a session, not minutes.
All right, what if that foot-long sandwich gives you gastrointestinal distress that has you on the toilet for 3 or 4 days? You still going to get the 12-inch sandwich?
And we're rocking and rolling. If I'm going to pay for it, we're taking all 12 inches in.
Maybe you just shouldn't go buy the sandwich. Maybe you should just make a sandwich at home, or maybe just sit outside for a bit.
Is there not tanning beds that you can pay by the minute?
I don't believe they have coin
shakes.
Well, yeah. Hans knows about that.
No, they don't have a coin operated booth.
This is like step two of a 10-step process where you have a tanning booth in your house.
Yeah, but I went 3 years without burning. Remember the last time I burnt was about 3 years ago. Or 4 maybe. You remember I had a bad one. Really
yeah.
Bad
yeah. No, this is not the first time.
But, you know, at this point, you just kind of sit in and try to enjoy the pain the most you can.
All right. Hands and Scotty, 102, right here on the Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, we kick off your 1 o'clock hour. A lot to break down. We got some Jazz, all kinds of stuff to chat about as we get to the final hour of the show. Also, Total Recall, we'll recap some of the big moments of today's show.
We've had an opportunity to talk a lot about the coaching end of things, assistant hires, and if you didn't hear, Weber State hiring former offensive lineman Robert Conley as their defensive line coach. We're waiting on official announcements coming from BYU. I think, you know, just reading the tea leaves, it sure feels like Kevin Kloon has the in on one of the assistant positions. We'll see who they bring in as the offensive line coach. But we had a lengthy conversation about the coaching situation in the state.
By the way, apparently I said emulating heat. I meant emanating heat. That's my bad. I got it.
Same
text
thing.
From a friend of mine saying, hey.
Really is the same thing.
Not really.
Semantics.
Tomato, whatever. Andrew Reinhardt's with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Andrew, no pills, no surgery, and no needles. And that's important when we talk about down there when people try to fix ED. But let's talk about the pill in particular. People have been taking that thing for decades, and the side effects are not good, and the longer you're on it, the more you have to take.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is a symptom reliever, best case scenario, if you think about it. Taking the pill for erectile dysfunction, there's no spontaneity. Just about everybody that takes it gets headaches, gets blurred vision. And you're right, they've been doing it since the early 90s. Everyone's seen those commercials, and eventually it stops working. Whereas our treatment, the acoustic wave therapy, it kind of bypasses all of that. It repairs damaged blood vessels in this part of the body pretty easily and pretty quickly. And we have seen a lot of guys, thousands in fact, get off of the pill, get back to more normal function, on-demand function, like it was in their younger years. And it's a long-lasting solution, not a treatment that you have to continue to do, unlike the pill.
So your best recommendation right now, make the phone call and get the free assessment, correct?
Yes, there's a lot of free today. If you're struggling with erectile dysfunction, or maybe you just want to improve the frequency, call us right now. We want to have you screened by a medical doctor here in our clinic. He'll do an exam. He'll test your blood vessels, and we do it totally free. We also throw in a little gift that produces instant results in the bedroom every time. You're going to love that. And then you can decide if this is a good fit for you. This is no obligation. Free offer that we provide.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.